All right, Wednesday night. This is our opportunity to teach Kingdom Perspectives. Let me just lay a little groundwork before I get into the totality of what we're going to teach on. First of all, these scriptures tonight is going to be all over, so Jennifer's going to be putting them up on the screen. So if you could just be a little patient, because we're not going to be teaching from one particular book. We're going to be in a lot of different places, so she has to actually type it in. So give her a little chance on that. But don't let the TV take away from you going through the Bible. Okay, it's mainly for those as well on live stream to help them out, to let them see that. I'm going to be teaching, again, I'm not a series guy. I don't like the name series, so I don't know what to call it. So, you know, I'm going to be teaching, and the Lord gave me this title. He called it Revelation Road. Revelation Road, a journey to the appearance of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to be teaching on that, and it's going to be all over the place. And then, you know, we'll get to the end when we get to the end, and when he tells me to stop. But that's the title of it. And those are on media right now. If you would just let folks know, we're going to put it out on Twitter and on Facebook, because I know it's going to be very popular, because a lot of people want to know what's going on in the book of not just Revelation, but in the Bible, what's happening. So Revelation Road, a journey to the appearance of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be talking about at this particular time. And again, I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're going to take our time getting there. And some of the things I want you to know as far as the goals, we're going to be talking about a lot of the end time things that are happening. What's God saying about the end times? Where are we in the end times? Basically an overview. I'm not going to get into deep eschatology, but I'm going to get into practical eschatology. In other words, things that are really, really important for our today and what we need to know about. We will get into some things about the rapture. A lot of people want to know about that. So I'll talk about that, different views about the rapture, the false teaching and things like that. I want to talk about the final harvest. The final harvest, because see, a lot of people, when they preach or teach, they prophesy or whatever about the end times, they leave out that. They got the seven heads and the four horns and the two toenails, but they leave out the greatest reason you're on the earth during that time, and that's for the final harvest. I'm also going to deal with false teachings. These are some of the things the Lord wants me to go over. I'm going to go over some false teachings that are out there concerning the end times, concerning the church, concerning prophecies and different things like that. So that'll be mixed in the teaching. And then finally, but not in totality, but in this, as far as my bullet points, who is Jesus right now? Who is Jesus right now? And we need to understand that, because when you understand who Jesus is from an end time point of view, your relationship with him changes. And you begin to understand your part in this Revelation Road and your part in the last day harvest and the last day movement of the Spirit of God. So is that cool? And there'll be a lot of little extra things in there, I'm sure. I never tried to, make something so patented that we can't be flexible. But definitely those are going to be some of the things we're going to talk about. Okay, Revelation Road. Father, thank you again as we start out this time of teaching, and as far as wide and as long as you want to go, Father, just lead us into all truth. Holy Spirit, help us to do this. Help us to break open the bread of life, to drink of the new wine, to understand by the power of the Holy Spirit the truth of your word. Root out error, root out false teaching, false prophets, and get into facts and truth. Get into life that comes from you that's more abundantly. And so I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. All right, so Revelation Road. We're on a journey to the appearance of Jesus Christ. And he's coming back, by the way. He's coming back, and he's going to come back in the manner that he said. And he's going to come back in the manner in which he left. So that's an exciting thing, and that's something you want to write down. And as I get into this teaching, I may bring out my old teaching board, so we might have to shift around how we sit so the camera can get it. I'm going to test it this week, see if the camera can pick it up. If not, I'll just have to do what I do up here. But I haven't written on that board in a while, man. And I like doing it. Can't spell worth beans, but I like trying. I like drawing pictures. Okay, so let's begin in this Revelation road. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Which means the preacher, right? He's the preacher. So we're going to go to the preacher. Verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. And let's begin with this foundational point on this Revelation road. It says, "He hath made everything beautiful," look at your neighbor, "in his time." Come on now. When somebody says you're ugly, don't let them do that to you. Say, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He's made everything beautiful," when? "In his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." Now, King James is a bad translation on this. So let's go back and look at it according to how it should have been written and read. "He hath made everything beautiful in his time." You should shout amen right there. "Also, he has set the world in their hearts." The word "world" there should be translated eternity. Eternity. Not world, but eternity. God has placed in the heart of man eternity. And then it goes on that says that so no man can find out the works that God maketh from the beginning to the end. The translation and the understanding of this scripture is that God has placed eternity in every single human being, and without it, we can't understand the works of God. It's impossible. Every single human being has eternity inside of them, whether it's eternal destination of hell or whether it's eternal destination of heaven, but they still have a knowledge and a conscience of eternity. How do we know that? Well, look at the religions of the world. Look at the Egyptians. Look at all the different types of religions who try to talk and teach and reenact some type of life after death. They know something is there because God put that eternity inside of them. Is that right? Absolutely. And so the false religions of the world, they know this. Even man, who doesn't even have a quote-unquote religion, still has within him the thought of life after death. Even if they say they're atheists, they're not atheists. They believe in something thereafter. They just don't understand that. So in our journey on this Revelation road, we must understand that God has put eternity inside of us. Now, when you're born again, we begin to understand eternity. We begin to understand the power of what God had purposed from the foundations of the earth. We have now gone from darkness into light. We've now gone from not understanding to understanding. And it's so important that we get this foundational truth down in this teaching. Because one of the things that the Lord really pressed on my heart on this teaching point is so many people in all kinds of doctrines in the Bible, all kinds of doctrines in the church, they hear a man or read a book, and based on their belief system, without studying it, they believe it and it becomes part of their core belief system. Wave at me now. Denominational churches do that. Baba Baba does that, and what the pastor would do now, and this is what denominations would do, this is what the bishop would do, this is what the overseer would do, he'll have a series of certain doctrines being preached, and then they bring people in to verify that doctrine. They never let anybody challenge the doctrine. Come on, somebody. They never let anybody, and if they someone in town comes into town, I should say, you know, what does the denomination do? Don't go there. Why? Because they're against the teaching of the denomination. Y'all know where I'm headed with this. So when I begin to understand that eternity is inside of me, then there becomes a desire for me to know the end from the beginning. It's a desire for me to understand what God sees and the way God sees it, because now I'm made alive by Christ and by the Holy Ghost, I have a desire to understand what He's saying, not what someone told me. And see, teaching is wonderful, but studying is better. You just missed the whole thing. Teaching is wonderful. I can teach you, but if you don't study, then you'll never catch the revelation. I can give you revelation, but you got to catch the revelation. And catching the revelation doesn't come just by teaching alone. You've got to go home and study it, and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You do that. Now, I can do it in my teaching, and my teaching helps you have revelation, and revelation breeds revelation, no doubt. But if you don't study it, and if you don't put the time in, and as Scott says many times, his homework, if you don't do your homework, then you don't get an understanding of it for you. Then what you've got by somebody else telling you it is concept. But when you study, it becomes precept. That's powerful right there. It becomes life to you. Then it becomes doctrine. Then it becomes the core of your existence. And so he set that inside of man, but we cannot discover these truths without him. And it's amazing how many sheep sit in churches. And again, I'm not against teachers. You know, I love teachers, but they sit in churches and they just gobble everything up, and they throw their Bible in the back of the car or down on the floorboard or whatever they do with it, and they never study it out at all. And they say, well, this is what our church believes. That's what I believe. Well, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? Because when it comes time, when it comes time to put your head, you know, on a guillotine or so, that, do you believe what you believe? I mean, that's a way ahead on the journey here on the road to Revelation Road. But, you know, I'm serious. And that's why we don't have an answer to give to the world. All we say is, Jesus is coming. Better get ready, man. Well, why is he coming? When is he coming? How is he coming? Can you show me? Can you explain to me? Because all I've heard for 20, 30 years from Mama and Papa and everybody else, Jesus is coming. He ain't showed up yet. Hey, you can only cry wolf so many times. Do you know that? That's why people, when we have crisis like this, they're like, oh, phooey, man, I don't believe that. It's just we're just going through some stuff. We're going to be okay. Instead of showing them line upon line, precept upon precept, here's what's happening. Not just prophecy out of your mouth, but showing the power of the word. And then pointing both prophecy and the word and saying, look, this is what's happening. Now, if you want to argue and you want to, you know, reject it, that's up to you. Live in ignorance. I can't help you. Do you see that? So let's look at it one more time. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set eternity in their heart so that no man can find out the works that God maketh from the beginning to the end. In other words, you're not going to know from the beginning to the end without God and the power of God and the power of his eternal might. Okay? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians 13. And I'll probably read up there, Jen, because it's easier to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. I'm sorry. Verse 9 through 12, I think we're going to go there. Just got to get this down in your spirit, okay? We are on the Revelation Road. There's no doubt about it. So let's look at this. For we know in part. Well, I thought we couldn't know something. Yes, he's talking to the church. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. That's why I always tell you, be careful of people who say they know it all. Be careful of people that say they got it all figured out. Well, at 7:55, this is going to happen. You know, and then the moon's going to line up with Aquarius. And then the Big Dipper's going to spill out into the Little Dipper. And then there's going to be a tsunami because it's too much. I mean, I know what, right? And then watch out for the Milky Way because you're going to get all sticky. For we know it. I do like Milky Ways, by the way. Everybody say amen to Milky Way. Come on, somebody. If you're allergic to peanuts, go to Milky Ways. All right. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Watch this. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is put apart shall be done away. I get excited. You know why I'm excited? Because you know what that means by perfect? That's the second coming of Christ. That is a reference to the second coming of Christ. I only know in part. I don't know the whole thing. I don't got the whole deal. Not good English. But I don't have the full revelation of everything. But eternity has been set in my heart. The power of the Godhead has been set in my heart, has been set in your heart. And therefore, he gives us an understanding. When you study, when you hear revelation, when the teaching is anointed, when you go back and you dig in and you say, God, I want to understand this. So I know in part, we prophesy in part, that till that which is perfect, which is the second coming of Christ, has come, then that which is part shall be done away. No longer will we have to prophesy. Hallelujah. No longer do we got to partly do anything. We're going to be in the totality, the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. So what's the next verse say? When I was a child, I spake as a child. Napios, is that right? Yes, it is. That's the word, napios. And I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So there's coming a maturity. And I don't have time to teach it, but going from a technon to a weos. Technon is a young, immature child. A weos is a mature child. Jesus, on every incident, was called a weos except one time. One time, whenever it was referenced between him and Mary, and he said, this is your son. He was a weos, or a technon to her. But he was always a weos, which means someone who is mature to handle the affairs of their father, the business of the father. Verse 12. For we now see through a glass darkly. Bad translation. It means a mirror. And he's referencing the mirrors of the day. The mirrors of the day were not very good. You know, our mirrors today, we don't even want to look at them anymore. They're like, oh, wow. You ever done a magnifying mirror, one of those kind that you can see the crater of the moon? Y'all ain't helping me. You know what I mean? I used to always do that at the store. I go see what it has, like those arms, swinging arms. You look at them and you go, oh, my God. Whoa, you know. He makes everything beautiful in this time, but help me. For now we see through a glass darkly, or a mirror that's not very bright. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I'm known. And go to verse 13, I think. Okay, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So it goes on and talks about how love is the greatest of it all, even though it surpasses all, even prophecy. Okay, so we're going to know him in totality. But here's what I wanted you to see. You get to know in part. Guess what? Do your part. Find out your part. Find out the part that you really long to understand and study it out. Get an understanding. And that's why we're going to go down this revelation road, because he's put eternity in our heart so that we can understand. Go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Is this okay to start out? All right. So, you know, it's in us. And please understand this. And this is such an injustice that the pastors have done. Fivefold ministries do have an anointing upon them. They have an ability to see things. They get revelation knowledge. God does certain things with them. That's just the way that is. But you have an anointing as well to learn. You have an anointing as well to understand things. And you can go in with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, get the Word of God, and find out the truth. Okay? So watch this. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, Neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. See, I told you, we just don't know, Pastor. We don't understand it. We don't get it. So we just leave certain things alone. You ever heard that before? I've heard it before. Certain denominations, like, we just don't talk about that because we don't understand. Go to the next verse, please. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Boom! That just blows that theology out of the water, that doctrine. Read it again with me. But God hath revealed them unto the special preachers? No. The evangelist? The bishops, the deacons? No. Unto us by his Spirit. He has set eternity in our hearts. When we're born again, our spirit is quickened, made alive by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost now lives inside of us. We become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And then we begin to understand the counsel of God, because he's in there showing us right from wrong. He's showing us truth. And when we study the Word of God, he lays it out. And he either confirms it or he rejects it. That's why you can sit and listen to preachers, and some people just go, you're like, But then others, you're like, oh, you know, you're hungry, you're thirsty for it, your baby leaps inside of you. And the Holy Ghost is like, yeah. What is that? It's right there. It's confirmation by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we can know on this revelation road when Jesus is coming, in theory, as far as seasons and understanding the Bible. We can understand the atmosphere of the times. We can understand so many things. We can understand so many things about the last days. And we don't have to be wringing our hands. Oh my, what are we going to do? The election's coming up, and oh, he keeps saying this, and they keep saying that, and Supreme Court justice died. And there's people doing it. They're tripping. He searches it all. He knows it all. And he's inside of you and me. Isn't that powerful? Now go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And let's look at another scripture I want you to see. Verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. He was just talking about what he said in verse 11 about, you know, who could know. He said, I know that. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Well, I thought you didn't know. Well, of course he knew. That's why I'm saying the translation is not the best. He said eternity in the heart, and the preacher says, I know that. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. What is forever? Eternity, right? So the preacher knew that. And that is what I'm trying to do, is give you confirmation of verse 14. Confirm in verse 11. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doth it that doeth it that no man should fear before him. In other words, he's the one that does it all. And the preacher understood that. Why doesn't the church get it? They just don't get it because how will I say this very politely? We're taught, not trained. Amen. We're taught, not trained. You can teach all day long, but a father doesn't teach. A father trains. A father trains by picking up the tool and saying, here's how you use the tool. A teacher says, pick up the tool and you do it. Get back with me later. Read the manual. The manual says, no. We have so many voices, but we have so many teachers, but not enough fathers. And therefore, we become fatherless. Watch this. We become fatherless in the Father's house. We become orphans in the family of God because we are orphaned from truth. Because we can't find fathers to train us. Because everybody wants to teach and be under the lights and the microphone and the camera and be seen. And what a great teacher he is. Big deal. If I teach you and you're still a knucklehead and you still haven't done anything, you're a knucklehead. And you know what that means? I'm the bigger knucklehead because I taught you. But if I trained you, come on, some of y'all remember this back in your work days. When you get trained, it made the supervisor and the one who trained you, it makes them look good when you succeed. I remember that in the military. Who trained you? Well, Sergeant so-and-so. Let me find him. Why? Because it was a reflection on the trainer. So we've lost this. Now go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. There's a huge difference. And I'm going to come back to Ecclesiastes in a few minutes because I know I want to talk about it one more time. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. I'm sorry, Jen, I should have gave you the 20. Because you know me, I might start in verse 1 and just go down there. Let's see how it looks here because I have the Amplified. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen. Say that again. Clearly seen.
I didn't know there was a God.
Are you serious? We came from dust mites. Come on, somebody. We came from tadpoles. Do I look like I came from a tadpole? I mean, you don't look like you came from a tadpole. I'm not kin to a monkey and that whole thing. Listen, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. There is no excuse. We have no excuse. So if the heathen, the atheist, to whoever is without excuse, how much more are we in judgment for knowing the truth and not applying the truth? Watch it again. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So invisible is clearly seeing, being understood by the things that are made. So things that are made reveal the invisible, the eternal power and Godhead of God. So if outside creation shows me the power of God, how much more does his written word show me? Inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. You hold in your hands the most powerful force in the universe, the worlds to come, the word of God. It's not a doorstop. It's not a bookmark. It's not something you use lightly. It is the living word of the living God. Okay? And one thing I want you to write down in your notes, okay? So if I teach and I go into preaching a little bit, I don't mean to. But when I'm teaching, I will repeat myself because I get really passionate about this study. But I want you to write this down. The Bible never teaches fatalism. There's always hope. The Bible never teaches fatalism. You know, for those that are lost, well, that would be their destiny. Okay? So go to Romans chapter 3, or chapter 11, verse 33. Let's go there real quick. I want to make sure I get back to Ecclesiastes. I'm going to try to find where I got that in my notes because I want to show you something here that's important. I want to make sure I don't miss it. Let me know when you get to, there it is. I found it in my notes. I found it in my notes. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, which is his law, which is the words, his wisdom, and his ways past finding out. See, Pastor, I told you, we can't know. We just can't know. No. Read it again. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of his wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. In other words, how limitless. Not that you can't search it. It's just, you'll never come to the end of it all. Therefore, that doesn't make me stop. That makes me want to go further in my journey because there's the limitedness of God. Say that five times real fast. I mean, there's no end. It's the fathomless depths of God's glory. I remember one time I went to an evangelist's house. It was a friend of mine, and he had a really powerful healing anointing in his life, and took me down to his basement to a study, and we were talking, and he said, you know what? He said, I've gone from asking God, just for healing and healing people. He says, now I want to know why. He said, now I want to see how to be healed. I want to see what they need. He said, I want to go deeper than just the anointing and laying hands on them. And I was like, well, wait a minute, man. What are you talking about? And then I caught it, and I understood that there are some deep things about God that if you're willing to go there, God will show it to you. He will show you things. How does he do it? He set eternity in our hearts. He set the power of the Godhead. He set the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So I want you to write that. There's no limits. When it says unsearchable, there are no limits. But you must, you can, you have the right to search. And can I tell you something? And I know in some church settings, this is almost a taboo. You can't do this. You have the right to question God. Not in a rebellious manner, not in a prideful manner, but God, I don't understand. Can you help my understanding? I mean, Thomas wasn't so bad with his unbelief. Did you know that? Many preachers castigate Thomas, but he needed some more proof. I don't have time. He just needed some more proof. You ever needed some more proof? Here, put your finger in my hand. What did Thomas say? Uh-uh, I got it. That's a whole nother thing. But we always say, poor doubting Thomas. Well, yeah, he doubted. But there's times when you doubt too. And sometimes our doubting it seems negative. But there's times when I question God. I don't understand. Can you show me? Please show me. Now, he is not obligated to snap to it. He does it when he wants to. You know, he may use a teacher. He may use a setting like tonight to show you things you might not have seen before. But what, it doesn't matter. He's going to show you. Now, go to Isaiah 46:10. We're just putting down pavement, man. We're putting down pavement on this Revelation road to get us an understanding. And what I want you to do is get you kick-started, those fires burning inside of you, to realize that, hey, we can dive into this. We can dive into the understanding of where we are and what God has planned for us. All right? Isaiah 46:10. So I'll go ahead and read up there. Declaring the end from the beginning. Who did that? God. And from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So God declared the end from the beginning. Is that right? So he knows the end from the beginning. He has total understanding, total concept. He has it all. He's seen it all. Therefore, by his Spirit, he can share some of it all. He's not going to give it all, but he can share some of it. And he's willing to. And he wants us to see these things. Okay? But again, we are going to have to go after it. So he says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasures. Can we know his will? Can we understand the last days? Absolutely. I want you to go to Proverbs 25. Let's look at this real quick. I want to run around this evening, man. It just excites me. It excites me because I like to know stuff. I don't want to be hidden, you know, in the dark. I want to understand. So can we know his plans, his will in the last days? Absolutely. So how do we do it? Proverbs 25, verse 2. Verse 2. Watch this. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. Now, chew on that for a second. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. He don't have to tell you everything. I mentioned this before. You know, God plays the best hide-and-go-seek you've ever played in your life. You ever had that happen? You pray a prayer, and then you're like, weren't you just over here 5 minutes ago? And he doesn't answer you. He wants you to dig for it, right? Watch. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. That's your honor. It's God's honor. It's his desire. It's his glory to hide something, but it is your honor to go for it and dig for it and find it. You understand? He wants you to do it. He desires for you to do it. And when you end up finding what God wants you to find, when he wants you to find it, he taps you on the back of the shoulder and says, good boy, good girl, you did it. When actually all he did was moved a little further so you could find it. He didn't do it to harass you. You ever done that with a child? Or you know, whatever, they're trying to do something, you slide it closer to them and they get it like, yay! My wife does that to me sometimes. Like, there's a broom. Yay! I found the broom. Huh? It's the glory of God. He conceals it.
I want the glory of God.
Well, guess what? Sometimes he's going to hide stuff from you. And the reward becomes greater when you go after it, because then it causes you to work harder for the things of God. And that builds strength. It brings spirituality. It brings maturity. And you know what it does too? It brings faith and trust between you and God, because he knows you're the real deal. You're not some phony, baloney, church pew sitting person. You really mean it. Don't tell God, show me your ways, Lord. You know, or show me this. Don't do that if you don't go for it. All you're doing is singing. You're just lipping. Everybody, and anybody can do that. Are you getting me? I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just telling you about going deeper and further into the revelation road. If you want to see these things about the end times and catch them for yourselves to where they become rock solid in the core of your existence, you got to go for it. You got to study, and you got to add your studies to your studies prayer and say, God, I do conceal the matter, but God, I want to search it out. I want to find out what you have for me. Do you see that? So eternity is set in the heart. And here's something I wrote down in my notes, and I think you should write this down. It's your honor to investigate. Amen. I mean, just another name for search, but I like investigate. I did a lot of investigations in my career. Investigate. Investigate things. What does that mean? Turn stones over. Get into Hebrew and get into Greek. Study. If King James says it another way, find another version. Try to understand what was being said. Get into customs and manners. That isn't just for preacher guys. That's for you. See, this is what I love about this church, because you guys go this deep. But I'm telling you, there's some church folk, this is right over their head. They don't want nothing to do with that. No, you show me. I believe you. You know what? Just the way you responded to me is a relationship you have with God. Lame duck. Limp-wristed, lame duck, shallow, you know, mundane. And it's just not right. We got to be Bereans. We got to study, okay? So it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of a king is to search out the matter. We must investigate. We must have that desire, that knowledge of eternity. See, deep calls into deep. You know the scripture. Deep calls into deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, O God. All thy billows have gone over me. What does that mean? Deep calls into deep. The deepness of God calls to the deepness of me. And the twain meet. They can meet. But they can only meet when hunger is applied and passion. And say, God, I want to know more. I want to understand more. And listen, you may not be the best reader. You may not have, you know, all these different things. It doesn't matter. God can show you by revelation. He can teach you. Okay? Now, let's get into the final part, because I'm running out of time and I got bukus of information to give to you. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Let's take you there, okay? So again, every civilization, you know, everybody wants to know about the end times, and there's eternity, and there's always that, you know, that push for it. But let's look what God has to say. Remember, Isaiah 46:10 says that God knew what? The beginning? He knew the ending from the beginning from the ending, right? He knew at the beginning the ending the beginning. I mean, he got the whole picture. All right? You got that. I mean, we know that. He knows everything. But let me ask you this question. When did the end times begin? When did the last days begin? They began in the garden. It began in the beginning. It began in the beginning. It began, and I'm going to show you the whole thing here. Okay, so go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And what do we have here? And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. Everybody say signs. For seasons, and for days, and for years. Would you highlight those in your notes, or write them down? Signs, season, days, and years. Okay? So let me give you just a Hebrew number so you can go back and look at it in the Strong's Concordance. It's 226 for signs. And the spelling would be O-W-T-H. O-W-T-H. And you can find out your own way to pronounce that. All right? Because we'd have all kinds of translations in this room. But it means this. You ready? It means signals, proof, omen, warnings, flag, or token. Let's read it again. Signs. It means signals, proof, omen, warning, flag, or token. Now, you got to ask yourself, why would God put that in the beginning of creation when everything was perfect? I thought he just threw up the lights in there for night lights so we wouldn't bump our heads when we got out of bed and walked outside, or, you know, we can work in the daylight. I thought that's what he gave it to us for. No, God had a plan because he knew the heart of man and he knew what would happen. See, the last days doesn't come up on us by surprise. The final days and the final hours of humanity do not take the church by surprise, because they didn't take God by surprise. He knew Adam and Eve were going to fail. Did he set them up for failure? No. He didn't set anybody up for failure. He set them up for success, but they committed high treason. They failed. They faltered. They broke covenant with God and against God and against themselves. But that was the beginning of the end. Isn't that something? Watch this. The next word for seasons, it's 4150, and it's pronounced moed, M-O-W, I believe it's E-D, moed. And it means this. It means appointed feast, appointed meeting, or tent of meeting. I read it again. 4150 means appointed feast, appointed meeting, or tent of meeting. Now again, why would God put this up here? And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Okay, I understand that. But now they're going to be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. But when I look at the definition of it, God had a reason to bring forth a calendar to keep man on track and on time. Let me try that again. To keep man on track and to keep man on time. With our false teaching about the last days, we have gotten to the point where the church is out of the calendar of God and we are out of time. In other words, we're not in the right sync with God. Therefore, we hear any prophecy that comes out, and because it says, thus saith the Lord, and an angel hairs flew everywhere and all that, it's God. When it ain't even time for it. Now, prophecies can be given out in warnings and in early time frames. I understand all that. I'm just talking about bringing people into fear when there's not a need for it, because the Bible would teach you what time it is if you were on the time frame of God. And on this Revelation road, we're going to go all the way down and we're going to look at these feasts. We're going to understand this whole thing. Because by getting on God's calendar, we know what time it is. It was just New Year's. On God's calendar, we have just crossed into the new year. Not our January. So you get ready for fur to fly. You get ready for things to start happening. That's why when I go away and get these words, they already start coming to pass, because we're already in God's season. Not the person, we're just in God's season. All right, so watch this. So this is part of the law of first mention. Some of y'all are familiar with me teaching that, but the law of first mention is something that I teach. I believe that. I believe when God mentions something in the beginning, it is a part of his characteristics, his character, and it will stay true about who he is. Okay? Why is that? Because God never changes. I do, you do, but he does not. Okay? So he said there would be, for signs, let me read it to you the way it would be translated out. Signs, signals, warnings, set feasts, appointed meetings, proof. All this was being established at the beginning of creation. Now let me give you the seven feasts of Israel, and then we'll share just a little more and I'm going to get out of here. Can you give me 5 more minutes? All right, the seven feasts of Israel. This is all found in Leviticus 23. Okay, that way you, later on when we go back to these feasts and we travel down this road, these are little pit stops. You can go back and say, oh yeah, we're talking about that. Number one, the Feast of Passover. The Feast of Passover. And if you could just, you know, abbreviate and go back and fix it later or get the CD. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first one was the Feast of Passover. The second one was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The third was the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits. Number four is the Feast of Pentecost, or the 50th day. The Feast of Pentecost, the 50th day. Number five, the Feast of Trumpets. Might want to remember that one, the Feast of Trumpets. Number six, the Feast of Atonement. The Feast of Atonement. And number seven, the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. The Feast of Tabernacles or Booths, okay? Write this down too. There's an eternal time clock in creation. There's an eternal time clock in creation. And that we'll get to later on as we move along. So, we gave you Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. We know the eternity's been set in our heart. Then God's saying that from the beginning, he was already looking towards the end. He knew the end from the beginning, right? He knows the end from the beginning, knows the beginning from the end. I mean, he knows it all, everything in between. And he put into creation his calendar so that man could be on the same page with him. Okay? And so the feasts are going to come out later on with us. I want you to write this statement down. There's another thing that I teach. It's called the process of prophecy. The process of prophecy. In other words, prophecy has to take time. I'm not talking about somebody saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm talking about written prophecy. Okay? It took thousands of years before Jesus was ever manifested on the earth. It was promised through Abraham, right? Okay? It was a process of prophecy. Now, if eternity is in creation and we can see eternity, we also see the eternal power of the Godhead, but we can also understand the timing of God through that creation, which is based on the feasts. So I can begin to see the process of prophecy based on what's happening around me according to God's calendar. Jesus did it. Man, I'm about to... Jesus did it when he prophesied and he spoke about what the earth would do in its conditions before his coming. Awesome weatherman, huh? He knew about volcanoes. He knew about earthquakes. He talked about all those things. He said these are the things that would take place. He wasn't just saying them. These are the things that were locked up in the earth, the eternal truths of God, that God was going to use the earth to display his power. Is that all right? Now finally go to Ecclesiastes one more time. And then I think I'm just going to get out of your way, man. I don't want to. I'm enjoying this road. We're driving down the road. Nobody asked to stop for a rest area yet, so we're cruising. My wife used to want me to stop at certain restaurants when we'd be driving. I'd tell her it burnt down so I could just get one more mile. So that didn't work for long. All right, watch this. Verse 1, we're going to go all the way to verse 8, and then we're going to get out of your way. Ecclesiastes 3, I'm sorry. Thought you knew me by now. To everything there is a season and a time. When I read this, I want you to look how many times time is put there. There's a time. Every purpose under the heaven. Verse 2. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. I almost started singing the old 60s song, but I won't. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. In other words, let go of me. A time to get and a time to lose and a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Did you see that? How many times the word time? Can I tell you something? In time is knowledge. Write that down. In time is knowledge. This knowledge is found inside of time. Everything he just said dealt with time. And when you know what time it is, you know when to plant. You know when to pluck up. You know when to root. You know when to build. You know, you understand time. And you have knowledge. And God says, I put this in you so that you would understand. And I gave you these feasts and these seasons, not just to worship, but also to be on page with me, because I don't want you out of time. I don't want you out of sync. I don't want you misstepping. I don't want you to get out of cadence. Because when you get out of cadence, then you get into worry. You get into fear. You make bad investments. You hook up with the wrong people. You make wrong decisions. You do a lot of things that are foolish because you're not on the time clock of God. You say, Pastor, can we do all that? I just showed you you can. But you have to diligently seek God. And you have to say, God, I want to know what time it is. And I want to walk in your time frame down this revelation road. Father, thank you for this teaching and this beginning time. I just pray that these foundational stones, these foundational truths are just solid in our hearts, that we would be able to build upon this in the coming days and weeks. And as long as you want us to learn this, we thank you for it and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, I love everybody. I'll see you Sunday. Caden and Evan, happy birthday. We love y'all.